Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
When it comes to the act or the art of giving thanks, for some people, it really, the only thing about is when they say thank you for the food. You know, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for the food. Now, that's very admirable to do that. It's a good thing. But, you know, even with that, even when people do that, sometimes it may not do that great a job.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 Oh, my. You know, much of society today has become so self-centered with that sense of entitlement and me first and always, it's just so much easier to complain than it is to be grateful at times, isn't it? It's just the way it seems that life is. Psalm 77 verse 9 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. There's something that happens to you emotionally and spiritually when you complain. And there's something that happens to you emotionally and spiritually when you give thanks, when you praise. Now, unthankful people generally are unhappy people. Ingratitude is a tragic and harmful thing. You know, sometimes it's good that when you think things are unfair, you just need to think again. I remember the story of Charlie Brown and Snoopy and the cartoon feature. And Charlie Brown brings out Snoopy's Thanksgiving dinner and on Thanksgiving Day. But it's his usual dog food, and it's in a bowl. And Snoopy, he looks at the dog food, and he said, this just isn't fair. The rest of the world gets turkey and and all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Well, he paused for a minute. And he stood there and he stared at the dog food for a minute and he said, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey. When you have a tendency to complain, you need to look around you, don't you? We need to look around us. It's so much easier to gripe and complain than in life today because that's kind of what we're surrounded by. But you and I can have joy and a positive, thankful attitude in a grumpy world. That's why I took last Sunday and this Sunday to talk about the power of Thanksgiving, to talk about a thankful heart, and for us to see how that applies to us today and how it can literally change our life. We saw last week that having a thankful heart is good for your health, literally. It blocks toxins from your body. It relieves stress, so many other benefits. It's good for you physically. It's good for your heart, the rhythm, the strength of your heart. Giving thanks is an act of faith. You give thanks in all circumstances. You go ahead and thank God for what he's promised, even when you cannot see it, even when it hasn't happened yet. You trust him. Giving thanks is fuel for worship. It is a twin to praise. Being thankful, thanking God and praising God are twins. And they always work together and complement one another. But when we have grateful hearts, then we come to him with a worshipful heart. Giving thanks, we saw, honors God. Giving thanks is the will of God, the scripture says. It's not just an act, it's an attitude. You know the little phrase we've always heard that we should have an attitude of gratitude. But folks, this attitude, this spirit, this heart should penetrate each one of us as believers. It should change our character and how we live our lives every day. Today, we're continuing our focus on the whys and hows of Thanksgiving. You know, one day a year is designated as Thanksgiving. And we know it's so much more than one day. It should be every day. But one day a year is designated as Thanksgiving Day. It's a distinctively American holiday. And unlike some of the other holidays, it doesn't commemorate a battle or anybody's birthday or anybody's anniversary. Now, it's more than just a day off, isn't it? It's more than food, get together with family. It's more than TV, ball games. It's more than shopping. It's more than taking a nap, although you might enjoy all those things. When the pilgrims came to settle in a new land that was to become America, they came to make a home in the wilderness, and they came there to be able to experience religious freedom, freedom to worship God, and to share their Christian faith. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, 1623, a little handful of devoted people, they came together. They'd experienced 3 years of perils and extreme hardships, but they came to celebrate God's faithfulness. They had suffered extreme weather conditions, hunger, sickness, and attacks. They had no permanent homes. They had no FEMA, no government assistance to help them. No means of transportation except their legs. Their food came from the forest and the sea. And eventually this year they had a pretty good harvest. They had no means of communication with the people they left behind in England. No Social Security, no Medicare. But they had thankful hearts. And they saw God's faithfulness. They took an initiative of courage and willingness. They saw the faith of God in their lives. Then over 150 years later, President George Washington in 1789 made this public proclamation. Now here's just a small part of it. I'm just going to read just a small part of it. He says, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, and that's something, and to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. It's the duty of all nations, he says. And whereas both houses of the Congress, imagine that, whereas both houses of the Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Amen. He says, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. And there are those who claim this nation was not founded on Christian principles. Then you move some 60, 70 years later, so some years later, to President Lincoln on October the 20th, 1864, in Proclamation number 118, he declared that the last Thursday in November would be a Thanksgiving Day, a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. So this is an important day. It's good to have this focus, but it's good for us to make it a way of life for us every day. Now, there may be some of you, maybe just a little bit older, that you grew up when times were a little bit more difficult, and that you grew up in, at least in what some people would call today, you grew up in poverty, or at least very poor. Now, you may not have known it at the time or recognized it, but looking back on it, you realize that maybe your family was not very well off, and maybe there was just some things that you really did have to do without. You know, I don't know that we have anyone old enough or lived in a state to where you were so poor that you didn't have electricity. We've just about passed those years. But some of you grew up in times when you didn't have all the modern conveniences and appliances, at least like we have today. Some of you grew up before there were phones. You were raised, you didn't have a phone in your house. Or maybe there for a while you had just one, you know, that sat on the table or that was nailed to the wall that had a cord on it that you put your little finger in and turned the dial on, you know, that you could be on a party line of eight other families and all of you could just sit to listen in on one another. Some of you may have had those kind of phones. You know, when our kids now see things like typewriters, the other day we were cleaning up some things and came across a typewriter, and it wasn't the old manual typewriter. It was a modern electric typewriter. And some of the grandkids saw that. What is this? What is that thing? What does it do? You know, generations are changing very quickly, but you look back and see how time was and how time is. Some of you, your years may go back so far that you remember when you didn't have an indoor bathroom. Now, I'll not ask you to show that by the raising of hands, but I'll just simply say that I remember the day. And let me tell you, there were cold, cold winters during those years. Some people live in poverty. But in America, there's very few people, percentage-wise, that would live in what we would call abject poverty. And that shouldn't be. We know that that doesn't have to be. Well, I heard someone say, your mama's so poor that she goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. Well, I don't know that. I know that's probably one you need to edit out or leave it there, but but listen, folks, we do have so much to be thankful for. We have it so good. We enjoy so much, and sometimes we express it too little. Somebody said, Americans worship their work, they work at their play, and they play at their worship. Kids today are blessed with so much. You know, as a grandparent, I say my kids, my grandkids are blessed. And I think they're being taught what really are the important things in life. But in society, we know that so often our focus goes to things, to stuff. And, you know, when we go to looking at birthday time now, and we got 13 grandkids together, so we go to looking at birthdays now or Christmas, and you go and try to pick out something that they don't already have or that they're not getting, it can be a tough thing. That's why we just about opted for cash all the time now, you know, and make it work. But people are so blessed. Kids are so blessed today. Now, I know to this, there are some exceptions. We come across that sometimes when we learn of very poor, bad, tragic situations that are in homes and families in our community whose children attend schools in and around our area. And we want to respond and do what we can to legitimately help those families. So there is poverty today. We don't deny that. But for the most part, in America, kids are blessed with all kinds of television, video games, media devices. Somebody said they move too little and they eat too much today. Life has changed. One person put it this way. I'm thankful for taxes. I had to swallow hard after I saw that. I'm thankful for taxes to pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit too snug. Now, this is one pretty good. I'm thankful for clothes that fit too snug. I never thought about it this way because it means I have plenty to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning out because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for my heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry. It means I have loved ones nearby. There's power in thanks. Power. Rudyard Kipling was a famous, well-known writer and poet. Now, unlike many writers of that day, he experienced some of the benefits of that, some of the financial benefits. He became, for that day, pretty wealthy. He made a great deal of money. And one time, a newspaper reporter came up to him and kind of smugly said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read where someone said that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 per word. $100 per word." Mr. Kipling kind of raised his eyebrows and he said, "Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that." So the reporter reached down in his pocket and he pulled out a $100 bill and he put it in Kipling's hands and he said, "Here is $100. Now, you give me one of your $100 words." Well, Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill and he folded it and he put it in his pocket and he said, "Thanks." Now, that was funnier than that. The one word was, now, in case you're not quite connected yet, the one word was, "Thanks." It's a powerful word. A powerful word. A grateful heart. It'll guard your heart from the spirit of bitterness. It'll keep you from anger. It'll strengthen you for challenges. It'll build better relationships with others. It'll affect the others. It's contagious. It's a testimony of your witness to unbelievers to be grateful people. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 9, verse 1, just for a few minutes this morning. Psalm 9, verse 1. One verse I want to read this morning. And then the Amplified Bible makes it quite clear. Psalm 9, verse 1, the Amplified Bible says, I will give thanks. That's actually not what I was looking for, but that'll be, I will give thanks and praise you with all my heart. It's the right verse, wrong one. And I'll tell you the reason, because some of them leaves out the word thanks, but it is literally in there. I will thank and praise you with my whole heart. I will tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. Now, I want you to pick up on just four simple little things in this verse. It says, I will thank and praise you with all my heart. I'll tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. When it comes to being thankful, how to give thanks, let me point out four things. Number one, it's important in showing our gratitude to be intentional. To be intentional. Do it on purpose. Make up your mind that you will not only be thankful, but you're going to express it. Thanksgiving is a choice. You make that decision. You choose whether to express it or not. You choose whether to show it or not. Number one, be intentional with your thanksgiving. Do it on purpose. Act of your will. I will give thanks. Secondly, be genuine when you are grateful or when you thank people. Be genuine. Be authentic. A lot of people say thank you and, you know, they really don't mean it. It's not very sincere. And the truth is that you can say thank you and not be grateful at all. Thanksgiving flows from a changed heart. It flows out of a personal knowledge of the Lord. When you thank someone, it needs to come. He says, I will give you praise and thanks from my whole heart. You know, a third thing is be specific. When you're giving thanks, be specific. Thank you, God, for the whole world. Well, now that may be all right. But it's so much better for you when you approach the Lord in prayer, when you're praising the Lord, when you're expressing your gratitude, to just thank Him. Thank Him. Be specific. Thank Him. Here's something I want to take note of for just a second today. Is that when you thank someone, for instance, when you thank the Lord, you're thanking Him for who He is. You're thanking the person before, or it's more important for you to do that than it is than to thank Him for the things. The object we delight in when we're giving thanks is the person more than the stuff. I've noticed for a number of years, both on television and some of the media, and I've also noticed in school programs. Good, you know, children usually have school programs around Thanksgiving, and they're usually a lot of fun and very good, and parents and grandparents get to go and enjoy that, and it's a good thing. And it's always talking, singing about, well, we're thankful. I mean, among singing about all the turkeys and everything else, we're thankful. And it's something I began noticing some years ago. This is nothing brand new. But some years ago, I began noticing something that was very absent in all of these Thanksgiving celebrations. No one said who they were thankful to. No one expressed any source for who are we thanking. I've heard all kinds of programs and they never said thank you, God. They never expressed that we are thankful to God. Never. But they all sang and they all had their programs and everybody said we're thankful for. When you gather with people now, you can say, I want you to name 10 things you're thankful for. Well, that's all well and good. But we're leaving out, we're making God an absentee in our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not complete until you recognize the source, the person. So and that's whether you're thanking the Lord or whether you're thanking someone else. The attention is not focused on what you're thankful for. The attention is on who you are thankful to. And so that's what we want to learn as Christians, to be specific in your gratitude. Be delighting in Him more than you are in things. So I encourage you, those of you who have children, and I think you probably already, those of you who do have children at home, you already do this. Don't make God an absentee when it comes to talking about Thanksgiving or giving thanks. Share with them the importance of the fact that we receive all this from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. We're thankful to the Lord. For, you know, and that's what our video said at the very beginning. Thank you, God. Now, one little girl had a long list, everything from pickles and donuts to a brother that mistreated her to everything. But she had a long list. But the focal point of that Thanksgiving was not on the list of things that she was thankful for, but was on the source of all those things, and that was to God. So let me encourage you, keep that in mind, to be specific who you're thankful to. Fourthly, finally, be timely with your thanksgiving. How do you give thanks? Give it in a timely way. Let's face it. Sometimes we forget to say thank you, or we don't appreciate people the way we should. I think that's probably true of all of us. We missed opportunities to show gratitude to someone else. We may have really been grateful. We genuinely were grateful for them and for what they did. But we failed, we neglected to say anything or do anything to express that. We were kind of careless. And so that's why I'm finally saying, be timely with your thanks. When someone does something to deserve thanks, thank them. Find a way to express that gratitude. Extremely important. It's all too easy to be careless. My grandfather, on my mother's side of the family, my grandfather... had an expression that he used when some people would kind of would be careless or maybe mistreat someone. He would say, well, you know, they were just kind of unthoughty. And I thought, well, you know, that's not really a word probably, but it's pretty. He said, they're just unthoughty. They didn't take thought. They didn't remember. They were careless. They were forgetful. We all feel good when we're appreciated. Let's face it. We like to be thanked. We like to be appreciated. Now, it's important not only to be thankful for God and to Him, but be thankful for other people that the Lord's put in our lives, right? Paul did this over and over again in the New Testament. Let me read a couple of them. When he was thankful for his friends and other and people in the church. Philippians 1, he said, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And when I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. He says similar things to, I suppose, probably to all the churches he wrote, but several of them it's recorded. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, 16, the Bible says, Paul said, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you continually or constantly. We all like to be appreciated, don't we? And he expressed his appreciation and thanksgiving for the people that were there. But do we say thank you enough? Do we express it? Are we timely with it? How many times do we look back when someone did something very kind for us, After a while, and maybe we said thank you at the time, but after a while we thought, you know, I should have sent them a card. I should have sent them an email. I should have texted them. I should have expressed my thanksgiving to them for another week. Now listen, when it's important that when someone does something for you and you say thank you, don't feel obligated to reciprocate. To reciprocate cheapens in many times what they did for you. There are some people who do not know how to receive from other people. They don't know how. It's almost impossible for them to say thank you, because I know people like this. When you try to offer them something or do something as small as buying them a meal, it's almost like you offended them. Why? Because in their mind, thinking, I'm able to do this myself, thank you. Are you trying to say that I need your help? There's a pride there, folks. You have to watch after that. So we need to learn how to receive. We need to learn how, when someone does something for you, genuinely, intentionally, from your heart, in a timely way, express your thanksgiving to them. But you don't say thank you and then say, well, now I'm going to do this for you. That's kind of like when someone gives you a gift or present at Christmas time and you got to hurry around and go and find buy something to give back to them. Now, you would have never bought them anything except you knew they were going to buy you something. And so Thanksgiving, it's not, one thing we need to see is it's not quid pro quo. It's not, well, thank you, now I'm going to do this for you. Because you see, the word for thanks and grace, and I think Leanne mentioned some of this, the word for thanks and grace comes from the same Greek word charis, which is the word grace. Grace. And thanksgiving is only experienced and only shared, and is shared with the most, I think, effectiveness when we recognize that it's an act of grace. It's an act of grace. I think that intentionally, genuinely, we need to be mindful of those around us who bless us. We need to learn to be thankful for them. For instance, do you know the people that we usually overlook or take for granted more than anyone else? It's usually the people we're around the most. Oftentimes it's our own family that we forget to express how we appreciate them or how we appreciate what they've done for us. It goes along with a little phrase that we call, or that we say, here's how we say it. We say that familiarity breeds contempt. Now, I won't say that person being familiar or close to their family breeds contempt for them. I'll say that oftentimes that familiarity or just knowing someone, being with them all the time, you may start taking them for granted and forget to express just how much you love and appreciate them. And I think that's a powerful thing. I think it's a powerful thing for a husband or a wife to express to each other, sometimes just simply say, I just want you to know how thankful I am for you. And when something happens, something they do for you or something they do in the home, to say, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you. There's something that'll be released. There's something that'll happen when we learn, because thank you or two of the most underused and two of the most powerful words in our life that will affect relationships around us, and it'll affect atmosphere around us, because it is contagious, because it will change how other people act. If you've got a griper and complainer, that person will change the attitude around them if you let them. Before long, you find, after you're around that person for a while, you find out that you're griping too. You become negative because you've hung out with the negative. So let's learn to be thankful and to hang out with the grateful folks so that we can affect the atmosphere in the life around us. Now, this is very important. We may think, well, that's just a cute little Thanksgiving sermon. But this is a very important, significant message for us as believers today. To be grateful, to have grateful hearts. Gratitude is like a muscle. The more we do with it, the stronger it gets in our life. So let me read a few verses of Psalm 118 in the New Living Translation. Psalm 118. And if you have it there in your Bible, it may be on the screen, I'm not sure. But if you have it there in your Bible, read along or on the screen and listen. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love, his loving and kindness endures forever. Thankful for that? Are you thankful for that? Then he goes on, he says, let all Israel repeat. Repeat. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. He says, let all Israel repeat. His faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat. His love endures forever. Let all who fear, reverently fear the Lord, repeat. His faithful love endures forever. You know what I see happening here? It starts out by saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I see Israel saying, thank you, Lord. Your mercy, your faithfulness endures forever. And they repeat it. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy, your grace, your provision, your loving kindness, your faithfulness. I see they're repeating this. And there's something about when we learn and allow that to become part of our regular vocabulary, and we say it and we say it and we say it, it is like exercising a muscle, and it becomes more a part of our life. Maybe it's time for us to do a gratitude check, not an attitude check, not an altitude check, but a gratitude check, and ask ourselves, you know, I could say, am I positive or negative? Am I be considered a positive person or negative in my outlook, my attitude? Do I live with an awareness of God's presence in my life every day, of his goodness? Do I recognize that he's the source and I submit myself to him? Humility. Do I live a peaceful, content life? Am I content? Am I thoughtful and sensitive to the needs of others? Am I generous, looking for ways to bless others? You know, we could probably say on a scale from 1 to 10, rate yourself on each one of those questions. Do a gratitude check and see where you are. See where you are. Gratitude flourishes in an atmosphere of grace. And God wants our lives to abound in his grace. That's why we're told in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him. For anybody that might get a little upset or worried or something, you feel like, you know, you're kind of losing it during the week or something's happened, you feel it feels out of control, let me just ask you to go to Colossians 3:15, because it says, let, if you will allow, in other words, you can either let it or not let it, let the peace of Christ, what? What is that? That is an inner calmness. An inner calm of one who walks daily with him. Let that be the controlling factor in your heart. Let it be what decides and what settles the questions that arise in your life. To this peace indeed you were called as members of one body of believers. And get this. And be thankful to God always. Can I just leave you with this morning? To take with you, not only for Thanksgiving week, but for you to ask the Lord to help you develop that lifestyle of being grateful, appreciative, and being willing to express it to the Lord and express it to those around you. I think you'll find it not only will affect your life in a positive way, but it's going to change people's lives around you.